What's up, independent agents? Are you driving your clients off to the carrier self-servicing platforms after the sale just to minimize your service demand? Stop doing that with the premier mobile and web agency solution, Glovebox. Now you can keep your clients in front of your agency at all times, all while delivering the carrier self-service experience that will minimize your service costs and absolutely wow your customers. On top of that, Glovebox will help you increase your cross sales, referrals, and overall retention with an easy-to-use policyholder interface. Trust me, guys, we are using this at Portal Insurance, and this is literally happening. We are selling policies and servicing policies through our app. Schedule your demo with Glovebox today, and be sure to mention the Insurance Guys podcast for 20% off of your subscription for the life of your account. Guys, it's so cool that I can tell my clients, download the Portal app. Thanks, Glovebox.
Insurance agents from around the world, welcome to the Insurance Guys podcast. My name is Scott Howell, your fearless host and leader, insurance agency owner and insurance evangelist for I Protect Insurance and Financial Services, based out of Huntsville, Alabama. And before we get started on today's episode, please help me welcome, he is a 6'3" sophomore from Irvine, California, special guest on today's podcast. He is a Parade First Team All-American, Rivals five-star recruit. He is a fantastic insurance agent and a great American. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome first-time co-host of the Insurance Guys podcast, Mr. Daniel Sung. How are you, Daniel?
I'm doing fantastic, Scott, man. If people could see the smile on my face, right? The honor of being the first co-host. Unbelievable. Thank you.
Sir.
And I told my kids and my wife that I'm being on the second time on the podcast.
That's
and
it.
They said, "Why? No wonder why you're so excited."
Well,
right? I'm pumped up.
Hey, for all of our 250,000 insurance agents out there today, Bradley Flowers had something come up that he could not get out of today. And I said, "Hey, I feel confident. I feel as confident as I've ever felt in my entire life that my boy Daniel Sung can co-pilot this DC-747 plane with me just as well as anybody can. So I am proud and humbled to have you on the show today as my co-host. We have a ton of things to get started to talk about today. This is a little bit of an emergency podcast, Daniel. About a week ago, I have been following you on TikTok. I did not realize that you, Daniel, have become a TikTok influencer. And guys, listen to what I'm saying right now. Daniel and his family, and I'm going to throw out some numbers real quick that I wrote down. 651,000 followers, 15.4 million likes. You are closing in on one of the people, and I'm being dead serious about this, that could get on a plane from Irvine, California, and fly to Wisconsin, get off the plane, and somebody in the airport walk up to you and say, "I know you from TikTok." Now, folks, that's some high cotton right there. There's no other insurance agent that I know of in the United States of America that could get off a plane anywhere in the United States and have probably a 20 to 30% chance that somebody in that city that doesn't know him from Adam's house cat, like doesn't have a personal relationship with Daniel, walks up to him in a restaurant and says, "Hey man, I know you. I've been following you on TikTok." Daniel, how does it feel to be on the cusp, the verge of being TikTok, actually really legitimately TikTok famous?
Oh, wow. You know, it's been a lot of fun. And we started our TikTok channel. We posted our first video on January 4th this year. And on spring break, it was around March or April, we went to Zion National Park for our spring break trip. And we were walking on a trail. Nathan had to go use the potty. So I took him to the bathroom. I'm washing his hands in the bathroom sink. A gentleman taps me at Zion National Park and says, "You're Daniel from TikTok."
Yep.
So it was kind of surreal, but you're absolutely right. We just went to dinner, Christina and I, and there was another couple sitting there. And the whole time we're having dinner and thinking nothing of it, they pay their bill, start walking out of the restaurant, taps us on the shoulder and says, "We love your TikToks. Please continue to keep posting good content." Yeah. Costco, Ralph's, Subway, Jamba Juice, we do get noticed. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
So one thing that I want to commend you for, and I'm not going to get emotional, but I might get emotional, but I'm not going to start crying, I promise you. In a world where we have so much contention and so much vitriol and so much, you know, negative back and forth and on social media, I cannot tell you enough how much I appreciate you and your wife and your family for being a source of light in the United States of America. My God, if there is no other reason in the world to do this TikTok, if one day you wake up after eating a bad piece of pizza and you say, you know what, I'm kind of done with this, please don't stop, because we have got so much negative, so much hate, so much just anger on social media. I think one of the big things that is drawing literally millions of people to you is you guys are that source of light that people watch your videos. And I know they're only 60 seconds to maybe 3 minutes, however long they are, but they're just a source of light for people. They're giving people hope. They're giving people, and I'm not talking about, we're not even talking about insurance right now. I'm just talking about people in general.
Right.
See your videos and they see there's some things that they're seeing. So I watch all your videos, but I don't watch them for the reason everybody else watches them. I watch them. I watch what you and your wife and your family has to say. And then I immediately go to your comment section. Mm-hmm. And so in your comment section, there's anywhere from 30 to 40 to over 150, 200 comments. And I look at all the comments of what people say in your comment section. You are a source of light for thousands of people. And I'm going to tell you this. Remember, I said it. You are giving people hope. Hope for their relationship. Hope for the people that are in a bad place in their life and they can't see a way out of that. They can't see a way that they're going to get out of where they are. And you are a source of light for those people. And I hope to God that you continue to be that source of light for what will end up being millions and millions of people in the United States.
And it's been such a humbling experience because I wish I can show you all the DMs that we get about saying, Daniel, we're struggling through this right now. I literally signed up for food stamps today. I lost my job. We're going through a divorce. The kids are, you know, they have cancer. You know, just like you're getting emotional, you're making me emotional. But there was this one gal who reached out to me, 18 years old. She moved to Las Vegas. Her parents disowned her, pregnant at 18, not married, no job. So she reaches out to me on our Instagram and she says, Daniel, I just need some advice. Within 2 seconds, I said, what's your phone number? She replied back. I picked up the phone. I called her and she was shocked that I did. And I just, for about 3 minutes, I was her only hope in her life.
Right.
And she said, Daniel, this means the world to me. And all I said to her, I just gave her any fatherly advice that you, anybody else would give her.
Right.
But just the fact that she had somebody who reached out and gave her some advice and said, you know what? I'm proud of you. I believe in you. And I told her, your future child is going to be proud of you. Mm. That's all she needed to hear. And that day she started applying for jobs and she got a job.
Right.
So how much is that worth that we're able to impact and influence others' people's lives, not only hers, her children's lives, their children's lives? And you know what, Scott? When we started this, the whole reason why we started TikTok is because my wife, Christina, her oldest brother, 48 years old, 3 kids, all of a sudden had a stroke at midnight. And it's been about 6 or 8 months now. And now he's literally a vegetable in the hospital. And I thought, just like that.
Yep.
So we first started TikTok because I said, I'm not going to go out like that. Mm-hmm. I said, I want to create something, a library where the kids could just remember daddy if anything were to happen to me.
Yep.
So we first started out TikTok with me just telling dad jokes once a day. Dad jokes. My daughter bought me a joke book, 365 jokes for the year. I was going to read one and just start cracking up. And then it evolved to more of our family life, me giving marriage advice, me sharing our marriage tips, business tips, motivation. And we also do this rice thing that I eat. I sit there and just eat, right? The number one thing is we have to be authentic.
Right.
We have to be real. And all I want is just to show everybody a glimpse of our life. There's no acting involved.
Right.
And I think that's what really resonates with people is that we're not perfect, but we try.
Right. So back to your point that you just made a few minutes ago, don't think for a second that since the day I started this podcast, the Insurance Guys podcast, that in the back of my mind, I haven't thought about the fact that this podcast will live in perpetuity, and that one day when I'm gone, that my son, who would not listen to this podcast right now if I threatened him with torture, but one day he will. Mm-hmm. One day he will, you know, be older and have kids or be out of college, and somewhere down the line when I'm gone, he's going to say, you know what? I think I'm going to go back and listen to all of those podcasts that my dad did, and hopefully be proud of me for that. And then assuming that things stay the way they are, maybe my grandkids are able to do that one day. And I think that is very special. And I commend you for having the forethought to think about that and think, wow, this is not a 1 or 2 year plan, but what we're doing here can carry into my next generation of family and grandkids and people that know me. And it's kind of a way to leave a legacy. That's kind of what you started with these TikToks. Now, I will say this, I have never in my years in insurance, I have seen people that have gotten what I call insurance famous. People know them from their content. Guys like Ryan Hanley, Jason Cass. I think you could put David Carruthers on that list. You know, if you call independent agents all over the country, some of them would say, yeah, I know exactly who that is, man. I watch all their content. I have never seen someone in the insurance industry do what you're doing right now with the fame and the recognition. I shouldn't say fame, the recognition that you're getting from TikTok outside the industry, because I don't think you've ever talked about insurance. I know recently, like 2 or 3 days ago, you had a post about life insurance, but it was more, hey, this is just why I have life insurance. It wasn't, right. You know, call Great Parks for your life insurance. Right. Everything you're doing is outside the industry. There's never discussions about anything to do with insurance or your actual agency or call us now. You are following the Gary Vaynerchuk playbook play by play, whether you know you are or not. Mm-hmm. And what it's probably doing. Now, you just said some things when we started here. I think this is what I call an unintended consequence. You never imagined it. But I will bet because of your location and the way the TikTok algorithm probably works, the people within that 60-mile radius of Irvine, California, you're probably getting a lot of those people that are seeing you on this app. And therefore, once they see you on a billboard or they see you somewhere else in the capacity of an agency owner, they're going to be a lot more likely to go, I know that guy, and that's the guy I want to get my insurance from.
Yes, 100% spot on. And so this is completely our personal life, nothing to do with our agency.
Right.
One of the questions that we get on every single video is, hey, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? And I tend not to answer those or comment on those.
Right.
It's funny because now we've created this loyal following of this group of people. So when somebody new comments, what do you do for a living? Our followers will put on there greatparkinsurance.com. He's an insurance broker. We've had several people call in for a quote. I've had several people in the local area reach out to me, come into this office because they just want life advice, marriage advice, business advice. But it's really neat. But you know what's really interesting is it's just like everything else, Scott. And when I first started TikTok, my kids were laughing at me. There's no way in heck I was going to get 10,000 followers. I forget how fast we did it, but we did it. And then I said 100,000 and then 500,000. So we went from zero to 250-ish, probably in about 4 months, 4.5 months or so. The last 3 weeks, we have been growing at 100,000 per week.
I believe it.
Yesterday, we went up 50,000 just yesterday alone. Mm-hmm. So I told my kids, I said, listen, we're going to get to 1 million in June. Mm-hmm. They're laughing like I'm just crazy, but let's see what happens. But you know what it is? It's teaching the kids, mm-hmm. dream big,
Right.
Have bigger goals. And I told him, I said, honey, I said, Natalie, if daddy shoots for a million, but gets to 900,
right,
did we really lose or are we progressing? And so I told her, why shoot for 500,000? That's only a couple more. Let's go for a million. So I try to incorporate all these life lessons into it. But what's really amazing is, you know, it's amazing, Scott, how many teenagers and young people I'm touching outside of my family. And I made a little video. We were joking about it. And I said, whenever I start preaching, my kids say, shh, or they just literally stand up and walk out of the room.
Right.
And I tell them, look at all these kids who are looking to daddy for advice like this, guys. And I'm trying to give this to you all your whole life. But you know what they say, a preacher can't preach in his own land, right?
Yep.
But it's really interesting.
So you posted a video, I believe it was either yesterday or today. I watched it this morning. This goes in line with what you were just talking about. Your kids are like my kids. Anything I say, I'm just dad. Just be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. But you had a 16-year-old, I believe, young man from your daughter's school that calls you and just wanted an hour of your time that you gave him. And he comes in, he sits at attention, he's taking notes. What are some of the questions this kid's asking you related to just life in general, I'm assuming, or was it more business oriented?
Man, it was a highlight of my career. 16-year-old kid. So I'm sitting here looking at him and I was looking at my daughter, but now I'm getting older, right? Now that my kids' friends could come in here. So he just wanted some advice. He said, sir, Mr. Song, I don't know what industry I'm going to go into, but I know he used the word, you've created this great company, a lifestyle for the kids. You know, I said, look, I'm not going to teach you anything about insurance here today. All I want to do, Arian, is I want to punch into your heart, chest, pull out your heart, stomp on it, pump it up, and I'm going to throw it back in your chest. And I want you to walk out of here like you can conquer the world.
Right.
And he was, okay, I'm ready. He was so pumped up. And all I said to him was, I believe in you. Try your best. Be consistent. Talent is never enough. And I gave him a few books to read. And I said, when you're done with it, you know, give it back to Nicole. Scott, I didn't talk anything about insurance, man. I just talked to him about life. I said, don't have goals of you making a living. Have goals of influencing others, encouraging others. But also I said, don't just have a job, you know, have a career, have a business where maybe you can pay off your parents' house for them,
right.
Retire your parents, have bigger goals. He was eating it up. And he was so excited. After he leaves here, he texted me. He says, Mr. Song, I will remember this day for the rest of my life.
Mm.
And it makes me kind of get a little teared up, choking up, you know, just talking about it. Because what if I was that one guy, that one guy, and it was an hour of my time that changed his whole track or his life track?
Mm.
Unbelievable. So as much as it was rewarding for him, it was everything to me.
Now, I want you to know something. Let me add to what you just said. If you are a self-help person, if you read self-help books, if you listen to self-help podcasts, one of the most popular podcasts out there is a guy named Lewis Howes, and he has some of the most famous and influential people in the world on his podcast. I have listened to other podcasts and read other books and seen other biographies on things like Netflix. And I will say this, it does not matter who you're talking about. You can talk about people like Tony Robbins. You can talk about people like Bill Gates. You can talk about all of those people that are billionaires and very successful in the world of business and influencing. They all go back to one conversation that they had with one person that changed the course of their life. Now, hopefully you were that person for that young man. But every single one of them, when they deep dive into, like Scott always likes to say, get in the DeLorean and go back and tell us how it all started, they will always mention the one coach. A lot of athletes do that. Well, I was on the wrong path, and this guy was my ninth grade baseball coach, and he said something to me one day, and it just clicked in my head. And when he said it, it changed the trajectory of where I was going. and led me to where I am today. And I find it amazing that people, even people with great parents, parents that are successful in their own way, always seem to have this one person that just says something. Sometimes it's almost like an, oh, by the way, type thing.
Right. Right.
And all of a sudden everything clicks into place and they, there they go. They're off and running. It's just amazing to me what you've accomplished. And more than that, and I'll go back to what I said earlier, guys, what we're talking about right now, I guess from an unintended consequence, probably has something to do with insurance, if you want to say that. He is influencing millions of people in their lives and becoming that ray of hope in their life outside the insurance industry. And these people are from all over the world. It's not like it's like, you know, somebody 60 miles away. It's people in Canada. It's people in Mexico. It's people everywhere. And it's just absolutely amazing to me. Last question, and then we'll move on because we got a lot more to talk about with these agents today. I know that I don't know enough about this, and I don't know if you've even given this any thought. I know with YouTube, once you get up to a certain number of followers and people watching your YouTube videos, they just start sending you a check. You know, it's one of those YouTube influencer type things. And I know that on TikTok, they have some type of influencer fund of some kind, something. Have you even looked into any of that and where you stand with that right now?
Yes. Yeah. So it's called the Creator Fund.
Creator Fund. Yep.
And YouTube actually started it very recently after TikTok. It's the Creator Fund. And so basically what they do is that day, they count how many views cumulatively you have on all your videos and they pay you. So TikTok is actually paying you.
Right.
So for every 1,000 views, you get about 4 to 5 cents.
Gotcha.
4 to 5 cents. So far, and we haven't withdrawn, but I think in our creator fund, we have about $4,000.
Gotcha.
That's just kind of sitting there and you can kind of pull it out after 30 days or 60 days or so. But right. that's kind of what it is. But you know, what's really interesting is what's fun is we started picking up a little bit of steam. So now we had to get a PO box, Scott, because companies are reaching out to us, sending us stuff.
Right.
There's a food processor that's waiting for us. We got candles. We got charging stations, just anything. So what these companies do is they look at your channel and they, first of all, they say you have to make your theme very obvious. Right. So they look at your theme and they see if does our product fit with this family or right. with this channel. Yeah. So, I mean, a food processor, that's just an easy thing in the kitchen for us to kind of make a video about. Sure. Right. We have a lot of companies that's reaching out to us, but also we have companies where instead of sending us a product, they ask us, hey, well, what's your rate to do a video? Like right. a commercial, an ad, right? So, you know, we're kind of getting some traction on that as well.
Are you thinking about doing something like that?
Well, we have a few videos that's already produced that we just need to drop. And we came to an agreement about a amount. But Scott, this is a whole new world, a whole new business that is just waiting to blow up. It really is. And it's really interesting. A lot of people, and again, it's a consequence?
Unintended consequences.
Yes. 100%. I have people asking us, do you have a podcast? Do you have a YouTube channel? Do you have a book? Can you be a guest speaker at our high school graduation?
Right.
There's all these things that are, and we just started in January.
Right.
It's crazy.
Let me ask you a question before you move on, because I'm wildly interested in all of this. The company that sent you the food processor, they just sent that to you. And is that in hopes that you'll set that on your counter and cook some food in it and show it? Or is there this like, they're like, hey, you can keep this if you'll put this in your, you know, is it one of those kind of things? Like, how does that work?
Some people are a little bit more subtle than others. So they'll message me on our Instagram and TikTok and they'll say, hey, Daniel, we just want to send this to you because I think it would be a great fit for your family. I think your family could use it. And then, but it's obviously because they want the marketing aspect to it. Right. So for products that we will actually use and that we like, we'll make a video about it just to say thank you. But the food processor is $200.
Right.
Right. So if we, you know, it's a way of us saying thank you because they don't pressure us or anything like that.
Right.
So it's actually pretty cool. Yeah.
And in terms of these companies that want you to promote do a video, you know, that mentions them or talks about them, and they ask you for your rate. I mean, I wouldn't even know how to come up with a rate to tell them that they need to pay me to do this.
Right. So those are a little bit more official, and you actually get a contract, and you signed the contract. And it was funny because I think every creator, when you first get this opportunity, you think, what should we charge? What should we charge? And then you think of a number. You say, oh, that's too much. What if they say no? And then, and then you go lower. What if they say yes? So a couple of our videos right now, I said, okay, we charge $1,000. Within 2 minutes, they came back and said, you got it. Let's do it.
Right.
I said, darn it, I should have said $2,500.
Right.
But I'm learning. I'm making a few more connections with people who have a little bit more expertise in TikTok. So we're creating a network of TikTokers, and we're sharing. Right. And I've had dinner with other TikTokers. It's just like insurance. We're collabing together.
Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It is amazing. Okay. This podcast, the Insurance Guys podcast, is dedicated to helping the 250,000 insurance agents out there listening to this be more, become more, be a better person, be a better insurance agent. For those guys and girls that are in the insurance field and want to get into the world of TikTok, and you mentioned something that really resonated with me. You said TikTok wants you to have a defined type of thing that you're doing. And in your case, it's like family and advice and those types of things, but give them some advice, like how to get started. I know the first thing you're going to say is be authentic, be yourself, but give all these guys and girls that are listening to this, like, cause I know there's probably 10 or 15 people listening to this podcast right now that have the ability, the it factor that Scott always talks about, the it factor, that could probably do really well on TikTok. Give them some advice on how to get started to not just be Scott Howell and get a couple people like your stuff, but like blow this thing up.
Yeah. And I think all the disciplines are the same as becoming a successful insurance agent. You cannot have that one video that goes viral and expect you to just all of a sudden be TikTok famous now. You have to be consistent. So what we do is I post about 3 to 5 videos a day. And again, it's just like a rocket. Getting it off the ground is the hardest thing. And there's a crazy amount of pressure to do that. Once the rocket is in space, you move it with your finger and it glides. Right. So we do about 3 to 5 a day, and we treat it like a business. We really do. Whether we're in the mood or we're not, I have videos that I'm going to drop for the next 3 to 4 days. Right. So I already have it all pre-recorded, and we got it ready to go. What I would say is you cannot pick your winners. My first aha moment was I was doing all these videos and trying to see which one's going to get 1 million hits. What's going to be my first one? And then after recording all that, getting frustrated, I went out to dinner to grab KFC. Literally, as I'm pulling into the driveway, I said, you know what? I'm just going to record myself ordering KFC. So I grabbed the phone like this. And I was talking to the mic. That one went over 1 million. And I just ordered our family KFC.
Right.
So you just, like you said, you have to be authentic.
Are you recording all these videos with just your phone?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Are you holding it up, or do you have like a tripod that you're putting it on? Or
we have a tripod and a ring light.
Got you.
So when Christina and I are doing our box talks, and when we're answering questions and we're sitting on the couch, we have the light going on.
Got you.
But other than that, it's either Christina holding it, me holding it, but it's through our iPhone.
Do the hashtags even matter? Like what you put into the what I call subject line of the TikTok, does that even matter really? Or is it just kind of, because I noticed that you do put things, you do hashtag and you do put some things in there.
I do. So you want a hashtag for you page, or FYP or for you. You do want to hashtag that in the very beginning. I have heard at a certain point, hashtags don't really matter, but I think it's like Instagram. I think to a certain degree, it does matter because I put in Korean dad, Korean family, because we want to be very specific, right? So, but what do you think? When people search Korean dad, I show up all over the place.
Right.
So I believe hashtags are important, especially in the very beginning. So we do try to put a focus on that.
Do you think, let me ask you another question. And I'm sorry I'm being so inquisitive, but I know all these guys and the questions they would have. Yeah. So let's say that you're an insurance agent. Now, the subject matter that you're putting out, and I think one of the reasons, besides your family is so beautiful and you give such great advice and you're just, people are just drawn to you. You have that it factor that I talk about. What about these people? Let's say John Smith in Red Bay, Wisconsin, decides that he wants to start doing TikTok videos for the niche of business that he serves. Maybe he's got a nationwide niche that he serves. Now, your advice, your family advice, that's such a broad spectrum of people that are just drawn to that. You know, it could be anybody. It could be the mom and dad that like it. It could be kids. It could be. But when you start niching down into, hey, I just want to talk to plumbing contractors, obviously you're not going to get as many of those, but is that still something that somebody could do and do well with?
I think so. I think so. Now, if you look at the big TikTokers,
right,
it's not business related. You know, it's a little bit more about their life and, you know, things. It's more fun. It's not so uptight. There absolutely are business channels, but I think what you have to do, because TikTok isn't necessarily a platform for that necessarily. Mm-hmm. However, if you're doing all the other platforms, and this is in addition to, I think it will be such a great insight into maybe a lighter side mm-hmm. of the team in the office. We also started a TikTok. It's called the office_insurance channel. And I kind of have my hands off of it. I let the staff kind of run with it.
Right.
And it's nothing insurance, but we're just, you know, we're doing kind of the trendy dances, some of the things that are going on, very, very light. And we don't talk insurance at all, but it's in addition to the Facebook, the Yelp, mm-hmm. the Google My Business, everything else. Mm-hmm. But I think definitely there are channels or specific niches that are very successful. But I think it's a great addition too.
Yeah. Like my channel is the Scott Howell's TikTok channel is on the business side of TikTok. And I'm assuming your channel with you and your family would not be. It would be on just the regular TikTok.
Creator side.
Creator side of TikTok.
Yeah. And that's
interesting.
Also, people are constantly, so the audience tells you where they want you to go. Mm-hmm. They really do. And we just listen to them. So one thing is constantly people are saying, how can we support your business? Or what business are you in? Do you have merch? Where can I get your merch?
Right.
So guess what we're doing now?
Merch.
We're going to be in merch. Exactly. Right. So they're telling us what they want and we're just listening to it.
Right.
So
do you have a goal for this? I mean, is there in your mind now? I know that you've kind of 10X'd your vision already. Certainly 10X'd the vision of your kids and what they thought. But like now where you are, being on the cusp, and I'm not going to say you're going to turn into Logan Paul, but you just said it. You're going out to places already in your local community and people are like tapping you on the shoulder and going, hey man, I just want you to know, I don't want a picture. I just want you to know how much I love your TikTok.
Right. I don't know where this is going to lead, Scott. And humbly,
it's also new. Everything about it is so new.
Yes. Humbly, I don't know where this is going to go. So I'm going to do my thing, the daily discipline of just posting 3 to 5 a day, and we're going to see where it goes. My goal, and I'm going to make this public. And so let's see if I stick to it. But I told my kids by the end of the year, we're going to be at 3 million followers.
Wow.
So let's see. But in the big scheme of things, that's nothing compared to what the possibility is.
Sure. Sure.
Right.
It's global. It's global.
Exactly. So on TikTok, we can see where our audience is. So we have Canada, Europe, Africa, Mexico. Right. It's all over. But about 75% of our audience is in the United States.
Right.
And I think, so what TikTok does is when you post a video, there's a test group.
Right.
If it gets traction within that test group, they send it out to a bigger test group on their For You page. Mm-hmm. A bigger group. So if people do comment on your videos, I always encourage you to reply back to them because that's just another comment. There's more activity on that video.
Sure.
It was funny. A couple of days ago, somebody commented that Christina looks like a gold digger.
Saw that.
And so I created a video. Our channel is not spicy, right? It's not controversial, right? But this one was the most kind of spicy video. And I just basically called them out on it.
Right.
That
I saw
the, the followers, Scott, I think last time I checked this morning, we had 18,000 comments.
Right.
Unbelievable. Right. And it was just everybody just saying, just, you know, defending us basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me add to that. I read that comment, commented on that video, and I said, I'm your Huckleberry. If you want to come after somebody, come after me. And then as I was just about to post it, I thought, you know what? Daniel did a great job of kind of putting that to bed. So I just deleted, I just deleted that comment and went on about my day. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, guys, I hope that you took something from both of us related to TikTok today. I am so proud of you, Daniel, and your family and what you guys have accomplished. And I fully expect, I mean, every time I look at your followers, it just goes up, like you said, by 10, 20, 30,000 followers. So the moon is yours, brother. I really believe that. I think you can probably get to 3 million with the content that you're posting. The last thing I'm going to say about that is the beautiful thing of what you're doing, rather than getting on TikTok and commenting about politics and getting into it with people, the content that you're posting is so positive and so uplifting that you don't ever have to worry about your videos being taken down or they mess up your algorithm so nobody sees it. I don't think that anything that you do would ever run the risk of having that happen to you.
I agree. We've actually had some videos be taken down by TikTok. Good. And one was because we were shooting and Nathan runs across in his underwear.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Little things like that. But right. No, you're right.
Let's give these agents some other ammunition to talk about today besides TikTok. So my agency is going through a transformation right now from the small boutique, one man, two person, three person shop. And this is kind of new, uncharted territory for us. But as I said, guys, back at the end of last year, I always try to do what I say I'm going to do for you guys as well. There were some goals that I set for myself this year. One was to become a platinum coaching member of the UPP with Mike Stromso. So we've been on our first call with him this week. We have joined the UPP in the capacity as a Mike as our coach for the year. We're excited about that. He's excited about that. But one of the things that we've been struggling with that we've talked to a number of very successful insurance agents like Daniel about, and I haven't talked to Daniel about it, and that's why we're going to talk about it right now. I've just always, Daniel, been the guy that said, hey, everybody, if you'll just sell insurance like your hair's on fire, everything else will take care of itself. But then you reach this place in your business where you've got 10, 15, 20 employees, and you realize, uh-oh, we've got to kind of go backwards to go forwards in terms of we don't have a vision statement. We don't have formal job descriptions. I mean, I give everybody an employment job description, but as one consultant told me about 2 weeks ago, he said, have you sat down with each employee and figured out whether what is on their formal job description is actually what they do every day? And the very first one I did last week, it was that case. What I put on their formal job description when they were hired is not exactly what they do every day. So I wanted to talk through that with you. Maybe you're one of those agencies that don't do that. Maybe you are, but kind of talk a little bit to me about, first of all, so these agents can follow us. Do you have your vision of the future in your agency in your head, or is it on paper somewhere and been shared with the rest of your team?
That is something where I have been lacking as a leader to do.
Right.
My biggest struggle.
Hey, me too. So we're in the same boat.
Awesome. I know what I want up here, and my mind is moving at 100 miles, and just like yours, and just like all the great leaders, yep. Right? Is 100 miles an hour. My biggest challenge when I first started building a team was communicating that to the team.
Correct.
And when I would communicate that, it was just like, or what is that? A fire hose out of my mouth. And I couldn't articulate it. So I really had to take a step back and just slow down and say, hey, look, we're gonna eat this elephant one bite at a time. So what I like to do is, and I think Chris Paradiso, I mean, he's probably a master at this, but I like my people to cross train.
Right.
I am desperately scared of having possibly two or one receptionist or one assistant, because if something happens to them, what's going to happen? Correct. So for every position in the office, at the very minimum, we have two. Ideally, I would love to have three for every position.
Right.
But so we do a lot of cross training, but my CL guys, they cross train PL, and PL cross train CL. Not that they sell it every day, because right. they function at their primary job mainly, but we do a little bit of cross training as well. And I think to really grow, because right now we have, what is it? We have 11 or 12 people.
That's so where we're
kind of right there where we're not a two-man team anymore, right. but we're not 30, 50 people, right. but still we have to set some type of foundation now, systems and processes for us to get to the 30.
Right.
A lot of things that I'm finding out are broken within our agency. And it seems like we're moving and I don't know what box to unpack first. There's so much going on, but I guess that's kind of the fun part of it too, is that we have so much room to grow and to improve.
And you and I are in the exact same place. We have, I think we have 9 full-time employees interviewing somebody right now that would be our 10th full-time employee. Then we have 2 virtual assistants.
Wow. Yeah.
One is appointment setting. The other is back of the house working on, they're not client facing, they're rear facing. They do a lot of data cleanup, a lot of inputting excess and surplus lines policies that don't download. About to take on another responsibility of helping me with commissions, because I'm getting more actively involved in taking over the commissions each month for all of our producers in our agency. So what I've told my people, Daniel, is this, exactly what you just said. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's easier, but nobody does it, I don't believe. Not many people do it. To start all of this the first day you ever start your agency, because then you have all the systems and processes in place as you go through. But sometimes if you haven't been in insurance very long, you don't know what processes you really need. And then right. those processes, the processes that you have today aren't going to be the same processes and procedures you have when you get to 50 team members. They're going to change. So it's an evolving type scenario. But I will say, and I've met with my agency operations manager, who was having a really hard time up until last week when we sat down and had a formal meeting about what his priorities were of, what are my priorities? What, you know, we've never had this conversation, Scott. What's priority number one and what's priority number 10? So we went through that. I outlined that for him. But I told him, I said, look, you and I need to create one process a week. We need to create it. We need to do a video. We have a private YouTube video page just for team members. Nobody can get in it, but just unless we give you access to that YouTube channel.
What a great idea.
And
what a great idea.
And so that process is both written on paper, and then there's a video. It's probably 2 to 3 minutes long, depending on the process. And we're going to create one process a week for 52 weeks instead of trying to create 30 processes in a week. Because here's the big part of this whole thing. You can create all the processes you want, but you've got to have that buy-in from your staff. Because in a lot of cases for agencies like yours and mine, people have been doing the same thing the same way for years. Right. And so it takes about 75 days to break a habit. So you're going to have to follow up with each and every team member that does that process. Number one, make sure they're doing it the right way now. And number two, make sure you have buy-in. And then only then can you kind of move on towards that next process. Because just creating them doesn't do any good if nobody's doing it the way it's supposed to be done or the way the process needs to be done. So that's a big one for us. The other one that I wrote down that I wanted to ask you about was, I assume when you hire people, you're giving them a formal job description along with their employment offer. And one thing I wasn't doing was going back 2 years after they're hired and seeing what that formal job description was versus what they're doing today and making sure that those two match up.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. And I haven't done that. 2-3 years later, go back to the original paperwork. But we do with, along with their employment package, we do give them a full job description of what the expectations are, what their duties are. And I think communication is very important, especially upfront.
Right.
And as long as they know what, and that's why I love Mike Stromsel, right? And he yep. does a lot of this. And a lot of people think leadership is this complicated topic.
Yeah. Right.
Man, leadership is just showing up on time every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leadership is just making sure your clothes, your shirt is nice and pressed.
Right.
And looking sharp all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And I told this the high school Arian here, I said, everybody's a leader.
Right.
You don't have to be at a job leading a team. If you're a husband, you're leading your family. If you're a wife, you're leading your family. Right. You're leading your friends. You're leading at church. Everyone is a leader, but you just have to believe that you are and that people will want to follow you.
Yep.
But it all goes back to leadership. And I kind of twisted this, I don't know, somehow back to leadership. But
no, because that's at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about right now, is giving your employees that vision of where you see this company going in 3 years. And formal job descriptions are important. But I'll tell you what's more important. Putting your boots on every day and showing up and getting in the mix with everybody and make them seeing that you're willing to do and have done what they're doing right now. And I think that's one area you and I both shine, is there is nothing that anybody in our agencies are doing or are going to do that we haven't already done ourselves.
Right. 100%.
And so it's hard for anybody to say, well, look at him. He's just, you know, sitting over there making podcasts. He's never done a COI. He's never sold an insurance. They can't do that. They can't right. do that.
Yeah. I don't know if I shared this with you, Scott, but I literally just stepped away in January from quoting and binding.
Right.
For my fourth time, you know, but now I have, the team is just, they're running so smoothly. I don't see myself ever going back.
Right.
But if there's ever a situation where I have to, I'll be the first one in that foxhole.
Yep. Right. Me as well. Yeah, I've kind of stepped away from that as well, but I always seem to get kind of lured back in by it because somebody call me 2 weeks ago. We're closing home and auto on them next week. They wanted to do it next Wednesday, but she called and she said, I've heard that I've got friends that you helped with claims. I've heard you're a really good insurance agent and I want to get my insurance through you. And I said, well, ma'am, I'm so humbled that you would call me. Let me get you with Jessica Miller in our Athens. I don't want to work with anybody but you. I want to work with you. I want to talk to you. I want you to do the quotes for me. And so I kind of fumbled through that, got through the quotes, you know, called her back. I'm going to meet with her and go through all that. But, and I have that happen very, very occasionally where somebody will say, even when I try to push them off on one of my other team members and say, well, hey, they do it better than I do. They'll still say, well, I don't care if they do it better than you. I want to work with you. And so you don't get a lot of that. It's usually from older clients who say stuff like that to me, but that does happen at very occasionally, 2 or 3 times a year that'll happen. Hey, before we get off this podcast, guys, I forgot to do it again at the beginning of the episode on purpose today again. I wanted to put it in a different spot. The Insurance Guys podcast is powered by Glovebox. Ryan and Andy Matheson, great guys. They've got a great product. I don't know. I think you told me that you're on Glovebox. Is that right? Is that correct, Daniel?
I am not as of yet.
Well, I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for an agency mobile app and you don't want your customers going to whatever mobile app that you put them with that carrier with, you need to go get the Glovebox app. Those are some great people. They have run an agency. As Daniel and I both know, they are Mustang officers. That's a big deal in the Marine Corps. It means you started out enlisted and then you became an officer. That's what they are. I would highly encourage you to at least look at it and see if it's right for your agency. That's very important to me that you guys, that's how you can support this show, is to support the very, very few sponsors that we have on this show. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that's our only sponsor for this year. So please take a look at it for us. Daniel, thank you so much for joining me today. You've been a tremendous co-host of the Insurance Guys podcast, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Bradley has big shoes to fill. So
that's right.
I wasn't even half of what he is, but thank you.
Well, I appreciate you guys. As I always like to end every episode, rewards come from action, not discussion. Get your ass out from behind that desk today. Go out into the big bad world and build relationships. I'm not saying you've got to build relationships the way my boy's doing right now on TikTok, because he's building global relations. He's global. But become the mayor of your village. Go become the mayor of your village and become the insurance guy or girl in your community. Make money for your wife, for your husband, for your kids' college fund, for your parents out there that are struggling right now. And go live the life that you deserve to live. Have the freedom once and for all to live the life that you want to live and make the kind of money that you need to make to live that life. Go do that today. Go write good business for the companies that you represent, and go write good business for the agencies that you represent. Daniel Sung, I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
Guys, you are listening to the Insurance Guys podcast. We love you too, and we'll see you back here real soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Insurance Guys podcast. If you need to know more about me or you need to get in touch with Scott, you can always reach me at theinsuranceguyonline.com or email me at iprotectins@gmail.com. And if you need to get in touch with Mr. Bradley Flowers, go to bradleyflowersinsurance.com or email him at bradley@saralandinsurance.com. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to being with you again real soon on the next episode of the Insurance Guys. Take care.